Yeah, I'm sitting here with John Maddock Hall, and for the people who don't know you, who are you?
Well, my name is John Hall, and most people call me Mad Dog. I've been in the computer industry for over 30 years. I've been a programmer, a systems administrator, a quality engineer. I've taught at the college level things like operating system design and compiler theory. I worked for large companies like Aetna Life and Casualty and Bell Laboratories. I've been using Unix for over 20 years, and I've been using Linux ever since May of 1994 when I first met Linus Torvalds. Currently, I'm the executive director of Linux International. I work for that organization full-time. I am paid by Silicon Graphics, and I do some consulting work for them, but mostly they pay my salary to be the executive director of Linux International. Linux International is an association of companies that are trying to promote the Linux operating system. We try and treat vendor issues, commercial issues, so things about legal issues, trademarks, things like that. We tend to work those types of issues. We also help publicize Linux, and we try and give people an even balance on Linux. We recognize the fact that in the early days of Linux particularly, it could not do everything. It's getting much better. It's approaching what a lot of commercial Unix systems are capable of doing. And for the cost savings that you get by using Linux is obviously a win for commercial people. And we try and promote that aspect of it. Because if you tell people that Linux can do everything and they try it and they find out that they can't or they fail, then it will be a long time before they come back. But if you help them be successful in the first time they use Linux for something, then they'll use it for something again and again and again until they've using it for everything. So that's basically who I am and who I work for and what I do.
Okay, and what is the philosophy of open source, and where do you see the future of open source and especially Linux?
Well, I don't know that there is any one philosophy of open source. I think the person who has come the closest to it of anybody I've ever seen is Linus Torvalds when he says, "I'm just in it for fun." I've known lots of people who develop open source programs because they said, "Well, I had to write the code anyway for my own purposes, and if I give it to somebody else, it helps them." I've known people who said, "I had to write the code anyway for my own purposes, and if I make it available to other people, they may help me improve it and make it better." So there's lots of different reasons why people write open source code. And a lot of it has to do with something that they have an intense interest in. They feel that they can do a good job at producing code that does something, and they want to contribute to a project of some type or create a piece of code that they can proudly show off and say, "This is my code." I like to compare it a lot to things like an amateur painter or an amateur athlete. An amateur painter does not paint a painting and then stick it in a closet. They put the painting on the wall. They want people to look at it. They want people to admire it. And every once in a while, they'll take a painting down and to their local art critic, and that person who they perceive to be a better artist than themselves will then say to them, "Well, if you just mix your oils differently, you'll get this type of a different effect. Or if you use this way, you can make it, you know, darker, lighter, whatever." And so they go home and they practice that, and they become a better artist. Every once in a while, they may enter their painting in an art contest, or they may try and sell a painting. But just because they don't win, or just because they don't sell any, that doesn't mean they stop painting. They continue painting because they enjoy painting. And this is the same type of thing as an open source programmer. They do open source, they program, and they want other people to see their code, they want other people to appreciate it, They want to learn by having other people look at it. They're not afraid to have somebody, you know, comment on their code or anything, because they're learning like everybody. And it has a great deal with, you have to have a certain amount of ego, and the right type of ego, which is an awareness of yourself as to what you can and cannot do, and the willingness to be able to try something new and to go on.
And where do you see the future of Linux and open source?
Well, Linus has always had this one chart he always puts up, which is basically a straight line that shows the growth of Linux, and at the top of it says world domination. And then he points out that this chart is actually a logarithmic scale, so that Linux is actually growing logarithmically. And amazingly enough, it seems to be what's happening. Well, of course you can't grow logarithmically forever, so there has to be some tapering off sometime. But currently, Linux is shipping on about 1/3 of all the server systems that are shipping. It is used in most of the new supercomputer and Beowulf starts that happening. It's being used in a lot of embedded systems. And about the only place where it still has to command much of a penetration is the desktop. And I think that now it's starting to grow even more aggressively onto the desktop as companies try and figure out how to cut their expenses in software costs by using free and open source in their business. And as that happens, as Linux gets to be, say, 10% or 15% or 20% of the desktop, you'll find more and more programmers, ISVs, who will write their applications to that.
Do you have new projects to promote Linux and open source, or what's going on in Linux International and so on, or maybe your projects on yourself?
Well, what I spend a lot of my time doing is going around to conventions and conferences like LinuxTag and talking to people. Sometimes I talk to the Linux faithful like I do at LinuxTag, and sometimes I talk to the Linux newbies in other types of conferences. I will say that Linux International, when it started, was started by a whole series of small companies who needed to get visibility. And by joining together as one force, Linux International, they were able to pool their resources to get that visibility. However, as Linux went through the period of 1999 to 2000, and a lot of the large companies got on board, there was less of a need for Linux International to do that type of promotion. And so we're switching our strategy now of doing promotion by utilizing people in local user groups and giving them the information and the knowledge of how to do marketing to various groups of people. For example, when you market to business people, they really don't want to hear about, you know, the glory of writing really cool code. It just doesn't affect them, okay? But what they want to hear about is saving money or making money.
Security,
absolutely. They, you know, because in business, it's always a trade-off of how much money you're going to make versus how risky the operation is. And if you can lower the risk, then people will be satisfied with less of a return. If the risk is higher, then people want more of a return because they're taking more of a risk. So these are the balances that have to go on. And what Linux International wants to do is to... I should go on to say that the government has a different set of criteria. Government has to worry about things like longevity. They have to worry about things like balance of payments. They have to worry about things like national security. So there's a whole series of things that they have to worry about that are somewhat different than just making money or saving money. And finally, there's education, and they have to worry about things like, how do I educate my students? Do they really know how an entire operating system works? Or maybe does their knowledge stop off at a Java level, or, you know, at an application level? And how important is this to me? So how can I do research? Can I share my research with other people? Can the results of my research be easily put into a mainstream operating system? These are all the types of questions that an educational research person would ask. So there's different things that different groups would ask about that. And to tell the Linux user groups how to approach each group and how to sell them on the fact that Linux is the operating system that might help them do their job, that's something that Linux International could help out with, could provide them the information and the marketing materials to do that, have them pull it over the web, and maybe even put on local, in effect, local Linux talks of one day apiece, so that people wouldn't have to travel all the way from, say, Berlin down to right, to in order to be able to hear about Linux. And so these are types of some of the things that we're looking at doing.
Now, in the government, more and more Linux is coming, like in Germany, for instance. What are your opinions about that? And once you said to get to do a war with Linux, is Linux ready? And there was much critics about that, and so on.
My feeling with things of you know, would Linux be used in war, is the same type of thing of, do you take away hammers from everybody because you're afraid that they're going to bash in somebody's head? You know, you can't legislate morality. Morality has to be something which is built upon a person's morals. And whether or not they're using an operating system to do that building is a different subject. I can't take away the feasibility of people having a really good operating system simply because I'm afraid that they're going to put it into a particular type of weapon. On the other hand, there are people who may be afraid of their own, for their own safety, because they feel that they can't trust another country's capabilities. And it's the old question: do you put everybody on the same level by taking away every single weapon, and whether they will still go down and pick up a rock and beat each other to death, or do you put everybody on the same level where you give them the capabilities of living an advanced lifestyle, along with the risk that they will use that advanced lifestyle to do something which is evil? So, I mean, I can't really worry too much about that. That's something that I will produce the best software I can all the time. And if people use it for evil ways, that's a risk I think I have to take. I can also take the risk that they will maybe find a cure for cancer.
Of course. Now the Trusted Computing Platform Alliance is going on, and what do you think about that, this TCPA and the Palladium or Windows Next Generation, whatever they call it?
Well, once upon a time I used to be very much in favor of software patents and software copyrights and things like that, and to a certain extent I'm still in favor of copyrights, however they should be limited in time. The issue of software patents, over the years, I have turned completely against. And it's not so much the concept of a software patent itself, it's just the way that they are actually used, which shows that they actually have no use. Large companies build patent pools, and they use them as trading blocks back and forth. So IBM says, okay, we've got this large pool of patents. Intel, we will trade our large pool of patents for your large pool of patents, and we'll just call it even. And they go through and they do that. Now, a small company coming in that doesn't have a patent pool is at a disadvantage because they can't just do that little trade. And so their products, they have to pay. And their products may be more expensive because they have to pay for every single copy that goes out the door. And or you could find that they're just completely blocked from getting into business because some company owns a patent that is essential to them being able to produce a product that could go out. And the big company says, hey, we're just not going to sell you that patent. We're not going to license it to you, which they don't have to. So these are issues, and over in the long run, I believe that people who have good ideas would be able to find out better ways, particularly in software, be able to find out better ways of protecting them other than patents. And so I've turned completely against patents as a way of protecting software.
But now and in Europe, they want also to use patents and so on. And that's there are most people against it and fight, but may they lose.
Well, all I can do is to suggest to the German people that one way of protecting your liberty is to simply vote and to vote against it and to let your legislators know that no matter how much the few want the patents to go into place, that it is the many who are suffering because of it. I am a great Star Trek fan. I always have been a Star Trek fan, and one of the versions or issues of Star Trek was Spock dying, where he said the sacrifice of the few for the good of the many. And I look at some of the things which is happening today, extending the copyright on music and software for 70 years past the death of the person who wrote the music in the first place, and being able to keep extending patents. I look at all of this as the sacrifice of the many for the greed of the few. And I look back in the old days where people made their money by going out and performing for people. They performed on the stage. They performed by singing. And they made their money that way. Today, it seems like a person sings a few songs in a recording studio and expects to make money on that for the rest of their life. And in a lot of ways, the Beatles retiring at age 25 and 26 or whatever age they retired, in effect, cheated the world out of perhaps even more music, simply because they said, oh, we've made enough and we can continue to make the royalties off of these recordings that people will just keep buying on for all of time.
Yeah.
For all of time, you know.
Yeah. But do you think there are advantages because of TCPA security and so on, that they jungle the PC and make the PC very, very secure and no virus is there and so on? Or do you prefer the open way, so each have his own control of his PC?
Well, like I said before, I don't think that you can legislate morality, and I don't think that you can create morality through technology. I think that there are people that no matter what they do will find a way around the technology that they try and put in as a block. And one of the things I think that the manufacturers are not considering is, number one, there's a huge number of CPUs and systems out there today that do not have that technology and that are perfectly capable of doing lots of computing and not have that particular technology put in. There's also maybe a lot of countries out there that will say, oh, here's a group of people that don't want to use that technology, don't want to have that in there, and they will produce systems that will not have that capability and make them available to the people that don't want to use them. And so I think that, what this is going to do is, once again, is going to be making life more difficult for the honest person, and the dishonest person will still find plenty of ways around it to go ahead and do it. And that's basically what I found with most of these methods that they have. For example, with DVDs, I travel a lot. I go through England a lot in Heathrow Airport.
Yeah.
And I see a DVD on the shelf, and I say, I'd like to buy that. And
is it possible?
Can't, right. I won't be able to play it on my DVD player, and yet I know when I go back to the United States, I'm not going to be able to buy it either, because it probably would not gain enough of a market share inside the United States to make it worthwhile for that company to produce an American version. And so I will never be able to see that DVD simply because somebody decided that it was going to be produced in, you know, Area 2 instead of Area 1. And there is one industry who has repeatedly made profits off of the net. They have repeatedly made profits off of DVDs. They never, ever brand a DVD with anything other than a zero, so it can be played any place. And that's the pornography industry. And the question I have is, what does the pornography industry know that Walt Disney seems to keep missing all the time?
It's a paradox. Yeah. So that's, I think it's the end. Or is anything important you have to say?
Well, again, I think that the philosophy of Linux and open source is to have fun. So I would again suggest to people that they go out there and do that. And if for some reason you find out you're not having fun, then maybe you need to look at what you're doing and maybe you're doing something wrong.
Okay, thank you very much.